All right, so let's talk about info product release or launching. And you know, I'm not going to take credit for a lot of this. A lot of this is formed by Jeff Walker. I highly recommend his product launch formula. So here's a real quick release that we did for the doctors. We just recently re-released it. And we did a teleseminar setting up the opening date, whatever that date was. And on the teleseminar, we're like, well, you know, it's only going to be one doctor per zip code, but you can't buy now. And we kept stressing, you can't buy now. And it was actually pretty fun to have them not be able to buy then. Email, fax, direct mail, follow-ups. We had all those follow-ups. You got some of them in there. So we stressed the scarcity. So you got some of that. And then the first 10 got these two big bonuses that we talked about. And you can see, here's the page that we used for the teleseminar sign-up. Really good technique to use in info marketing sometimes is this Mr. X person, or Dr. X in this case, or Miss X, or whatever. You see it a lot. It still works because people are really curious about this, especially for this doctor or this family practice guy, derm guy, and you know, how he went from $12,000 per month to $6,000 per day. So here's 928 is the launch, the email to our leads. 931 is the landing page for the docs. 934, yeah, I did. So I did put in here for you guys. This is, I think most of the, is it most? It's part of the outline for that transcript. Once again, it's pretty much word for word. And notice it's a sales process. All right, page 939 is what we did to keep them excited about this launch. So after they'd registered for this teleseminar, these are some email follow-ups to, you know, to let them, you know, it kind of talked about each component of the program. So instead of, you know, sending them all to one page where they read all of it, it kind of like pieced it together or kind of dripped it to them in different pieces. So, you know, the biggest benefit is attract new patients. And then we talked about that in the email. Then like the next thing might have been get more referrals. And yeah, I didn't put all the follow-ups in here, but 944 is proof this stuff really works. So that's really important. So then we had a page for proof that we put up. Then answers to your questions is a great follow-up, 946. Then we had you know, getting people prepared for this thing. Doors open in 24 hours, so 949. And then two big bonuses that if you're the first 10 doctors to get in, so some scarcity and stuff that they really, really wanted. 952, that thing's open. You don't really need much after that to just drive them there. Then 953 is a follow-up on that day. And this is actually true, though in most product launches, you can have it planned out that something crazy is gonna happen. And it pretty much does. And in this case, people were getting busy signals on the fax machine and so on the phone, so we included that in there as just an email during that day. Three spots left is, you know, follow-up. So you guys got some of that in there. Release number two, I'll spend a tiny bit more time on. This is a release for my underground DVDs. And, you know, the first thing that I did was try to get partner participation. So I got a FedEx that went out to them. I think I got it here for you. Yeah, 957. So that's the FedEx that I sent out to them, letting them know what's going on, when it's going on. I also sent them out some steaks, I think, a couple days before the FedEx hit. Right, Chris? Yeah. Chris was helping me. He was in charge of the launch with me.
Yeah, it was a heads up for a juicy deal.
Yeah, heads up for a juicy deal was like the little thing on the steak, so they were prepared for something for me. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good. A couple guys wrote back, they're like, oh, I was away, my steaks are, you know, sat on my porch, but what are you going to do? But he's like, I'm still in. We built up a priority notification list. You know, a lot of this stuff is not that new to some of you guys, but we built up a priority notification list to get people excited about these videos coming out. Then we released the video, so we released content, so little snippets from the actual live event. And in order to get that content, they had to opt in so I could keep hammering them. And we staggered the launch over 4 weeks, which is a little bit different than a lot of people do. I just didn't want this massive release all at once. I just, you know, wanted to do something a little bit different, also reward the people in the order of how they got in. So 9:57 on that FedEx, you can see my schedule. We first staggered with the release of the early bird list, Then it was a release to my customers. Then it was a release to joint ventures, partners could release it to their list. And then August 9th was released to my affiliate network. Now partners could get people on the early bird list ahead of time and lock people in with their IDs. And I'll show you some of the cool stuff that we did. We used a blog, you know, Jeff Walker talks about that, email buildup, and then we pulled it from the marketplace. This is part of the blog. We'll talk about this in a second. So here's page 960. This is the follow-up piece on that FedEx that they faxed back to me. Here's an email to partners once they agreed to promote the deal, letting them know what's going on. So 961, along with some sample emails that they could send out. You know, I'm always very much trying to make it, you know, just brain dead simple for the partners to do stuff. So it's driving them to a particular page, which is these, so it's giving them reasons to mail their list, which is these sneak peek videos. And what we did for the links that were pretty cool, and Paul Galloway, my tech guy, helped set this up, is we just had a real, we made everyone's link, we did that same deal like I showed you guys, the dead end pages. And we did, everyone got a spy related name. So it was like, I think we had a couple domains set up, but whatever it was, you know, it was like slash bond, slash spy, slash covert, slash operative. And, you know, just some cool stuff that they could promote just so, you know, tied in with the theme too. And let's see, here's a, you know, just 964 is another example email I sent out to partners, letting them know just more tools. So I consistently and constantly followed up with those guys and let them know what's going on. Some of them are going to do everything you tell them. Some of them are just going to do nothing. Some of them are going to do one or two pieces. But, you know, it's your job to be there and give them all the pieces that they could possibly need. And I was also running this, well, Chris was running a lot of this, but I was off running at the bull, so I didn't care that much. But I was trying to make this happen all at the same time. What did you say?
I said, yeah, you're worried about your life.
Yeah, I was worried about bulls. So here's 965 is another sample email that affiliates could send out. Marco's asking my tracking click-throughs on all these different emails. If I was more anal and probably smarter, I would. So now I'm not. So I'm not tracking particular links, but I am tracking how many people hit the page. But I'm not tracking like, no, I haven't. No. And you know, I probably could, and there's a lot of other stuff I could be doing. So it's 967 is an email to get people on the early bird list from my list. We also did a postcard to get people on the priority notification list, so 970. 971 is what the landing page looked like. We had still screenshots of the videos.
Was this postcard only mailed to your list, or did you do this on behalf of other joint venture partners as well?
I probably should have done it on behalf of them, but no, I didn't do it. It was only to my list. Would have been smarter to do it then.
Are you marketing to the, when your partners send their subscribers to your priority notification list, for the people that don't buy your product, are you still marketing to them after that release and paying an affiliate commission?
Yes.
Or you still are?
Yep.
So they become your subscriber?
They become my subscribers, but they're getting, that affiliate would get credit.
Okay.
They get paid. I'm a big believer in paying the people from where they came from. Yeah. And this one's a little bit different than my regular affiliate program because it actually locked people in. Right, Chris? It was like a hard-coded link where yeah, our autoresponders would throw back in that particular, you know, operative or spy or whatever that code was.
Yeah,
back. So, but the difference in that case is a lot of, with my regular affiliate program, it's the last cookie that gets the credit for people. In this case, I told people, get people on there as soon as possible and lock them in for this release. I know there's another hand up, right? Maybe not. All right, so this is the landing page, 971. 973, this is actually pretty important. I don't do this enough, so you guys should probably do it more, is on the thank you page, you do a, you know, let them know what they're gonna, so like I use AWeber, so let them know what they should look for that's coming back to them. And it's a little screenshot of what it's gonna look for and tell them to whitelist and so on, whitelist you. 974 is just an example of an email that went out to that early bird list talking about the spy footage. 977 is a cool one. It's like, please synchronize your watches. So, you know, a little spy lingo and so on. Also notice it talks about how many people are on the early bird list. That's really important because it builds up even more scarcity. 979, we did like an email, 59 minutes and counting. So we really hammered these people. 980, it's live. 981 is an email that this actually did happen. I mean, we had a lot of issues going on with this launch. A lot of issues. 982, just another follow-up about 88 cents. And then you've seen this one before, 14 reasons why. So there's a whole lot of follow-ups. Now 988, I decided to, you know, this took longer than I thought than it should have to sell out. And you know, I was a little bit annoyed. So I'm like, screw it, I'm taking it off the market. And that worked really well to get people. I mean, that's the ultimate scarcity. And 989, you know, 23 minutes left before we pull it from the marketplace. And then you can see here, is, you know, what we put up currently unavailable. So we ended up selling, I think, like 740 sets, 739 or 735 or something. So we didn't quite make 750, but I'm just not selling them anymore. We did start like a little wait list, so in case DVDs did get sent back, and then we followed up with people. Here's copies of our blog at 991. I thought this was really cool. I learned this very much from Walker. This is a great thing that we kept driving people to, was this blog that Chris was really in charge of and writing a lot of this. So, you know, this is really cool. Social proof, it's kind of hard to see, but standing ovation at the seminar. And so we just plopped up little things like objection busters on the blog. And then the really great thing about the blog, the cool secret about it, is you get people's comments on there. So they're commenting like, oh man, I can't wait to get this thing. That pack, that briefcase looks so awesome. I can't wait to get it. And you know, somebody else would get on, I'm going to be first in line or whatever. And then, you know, just so they can see that social proof building. That's a really awesome part about the blog. The other thing that was really interesting about the blog was we kind of manage our expectations. I think Todd, you talked about it, or somebody else talked about it. We actually said, hey, this is going to be, I'm thinking about $9.95. And then I also, at one point, I'm like, I'm thinking about a payment plan. And people would write in, yeah, definitely do a payment plan. Come on. And, you know, you got people working themselves up for that. And so then we released it at $7.95 with a payment plan. So there's a lot of excitement built up that way. Something that I totally missed. So you got some examples of my underground blog posts. So you can see a lot of it. Posted a lot of video on there. Page 1018 or 1017. This is Jeff Walker's. I just took a couple pages of his blog that he did when he did his actual release. Something that we missed, which I think was awesome that he did, was a contest. I know, Liz, I think you did that, and I'll have you talk about your launch in a moment. But a contest, I mean, he had 426 responses, comments on his blog for people posting why they should get a free copy of his product launch formula. These guys just sold themselves on it. I mean, that's a really, really cool strategy. So talk a little bit about your launch just for like 2-3 minutes. I mean, what you did, you really pretty much, you didn't have a list at all.
No, I started completely from scratch. It did help that I had Yannick on the list.
Yeah.
That helped a lot, and that got a lot of other good JVs on there. And so I only had 5 active JVs, and we still sold out in 30 hours, which is just like astounding. And I credit a lot to it, to the product launch formula, because it builds up such anticipation, but it also builds a lot of relationship. So I had the blog going the whole time, and you know, I chat back and forth, and I posted to the blog myself and answered questions myself. And then I did a contest where people could win 6 months of the Ad Gold Rush for free. At that point, they didn't know how much it was going to cost. So I was looking, going, okay, other people are giving 3 months, I'll give 6. And now I'm going, well, that was stupid. You just gave 6 months of a $300 a month product away for free. But it created a lot.
Like one person, right?
Yeah, to one person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got about 60 to 70, 67 responses, contest entries, and they were so great, as they always are. So I gave away 2 more after that, for 3 months each. because I just couldn't give away to one. And so it worked so well that now I'm integrating that into this launch. And I'm going to be giving away three, though I'm only telling about the first one. And but not 6 months. I'm doing 3 months this
time. So you had a bunch of multiple contact steps. You started building a pre-notification list.
Oh, and the relationship was great because they kept interacting with me in the blog and with email. And then when we released, and Yannick's people started coming in, and Jeff Walker's people started coming in, and I actually delayed the contest. It was supposed to go out on one day, and I was like, oh, well, you know, Yannick and Jeff Walker's people just came in. We have to give them a chance. It wasn't a marketing ploy. It was what really happened. But then I got all these emails. They're like, it's not fair. We've been with you since the beginning, and they're going to win, and we're just here for you. And so it was, it built great relationship with people, and, you know, people on my waiting list still, you know, are emailing me, and we have great response from it. So it works out really well, and it seems like you're sending out a lot of emails, but people like to get them. They start anticipating them. I know I felt that way about Jeff's stuff. First, you were getting them, like, for the call, you got them, like, for 3 or 5 days in a row. I went back and was looking at it. And then you didn't get anything for a couple days, and I'm like, where's Jeff? I want to hear from Jeff. He's such a great guy. I didn't get my daily dose of Jeff. So it really helps, and building relationship is a big part of this.
Great. Going back to your diagram. Launching. Get people out of our marketplace, out of our prospects, and also our customers, and move them up into our oil derricks.
Contest potentially may suppress responsible because people are waiting to win something?
I haven't done the contest, so I don't know.
Like having a contest, is it potential that could suppress response because people are waiting to win that?
Well, they the announcement of the winner, I believe, I don't know if you did it the same way, was before the actual thing was released. All right, great. Let's move along real fast. We got adding revenue. A lot of us are missing out. I mean, especially, I mean, we talked about forced continuity, but a lot of us are missing out on other ways we can increase revenue. One of them is you're building your list. The bigger your list is, obviously, and also the more relationship you got with the list, the more you're going to make every time you do one of these sales or promos or in the Godfather position, like we'll talk about, or a launch, or whatever the case is. So I really like, there's two things, opt-in on the page and the forced opt-in page. So here's a forced, this is opt-in on the page. This is on Figure Drawing Secrets, is just a little box partway down. We also use exit pop-ups still, sometimes entry pop-ups. But I think this is like a real, real simple thing to do. If you don't have anything really good to give away, just give them away a piece of the product. I don't particularly like that much, just because it's, you know, you're almost scratching their itch, and then they're not going to want to buy your particular product. So I usually like giving away something that's related but not the same. House plans, same thing. Here's on instant sales letters. Now, a real cool secret on this one is we use an iframe, which I don't know what that means, like the letter I. And but your programmer will know what that means. But the great thing about that is then they don't have to move anywhere off your site. So here's what happens when they opt in, is this thing comes up and it says thank you and keep reading. Very, very cool. Anyone can do that for you. Any programmer. Forced opt-in is as my friend Jonathan Mizell calls it, a name squeeze. It lets you build a huge list to monetize. I'm a big fan of this too. You'll get anywhere from like 25 to 65% opt-ins, not really that uncommon. So optional stuff is a pop under, so you can put the actual sales letter as a pop under. Exit pop or no pop on your sales letter. Advanced tip is you can personalize the sales letter after the information is inputted. We'll talk about that. So here's a couple examples in your manual. Page 1028, this is the Double Your Dating Guys. This works extremely well. Notice what they do, use your first name and valid email as your password, then click the free instant access button to enter. So there's another example. I love this this one. This is for Bargain Wedding Secrets, and they have this as added credibility and all these things, as seen on Google. I advertise on Google, so now as seen on Google. This is the one for public domain riches that we use. Something important that you might consider doing is I always really think about above the fold. So on the first screen, I want them to be able to see that name and email. And then here at the bottom as well. Here's the fun opt-in that we use for the underground stuff. This is from Underground 2, where we had an Austin Powers theme. And this is like a flash type deal. I had Von Davidson actually create this, the guy from Killer Covers. So he did a really good job on this. And, you know, this is like typing out, like, you know, pretty cool. And then nothing happens if you click no, if you click yes. So they also, you know, some fun stuff that gets passed along is your code name is Studmeister. And so now you fill in the blanks on the next sales letter over. You know, top secret access granted, welcome secret agent Studmeister. And then dear secret agent Studmeister. And so you can fill in the blank with some of their stuff. How? I don't know how. It's a technology thing. It's you just tell people, do it, and they do it. Or yeah, you can have me code it.
Yeah.
It's what, PHP? Yeah. Okay. So this is It's you just need a tech guy to do it. Anyone can do that. That's really, really simple stuff. Where's Mike Dillard? Where's the Mike? Are you doing gateway pages? All right, we'll forget you. All right, we're not going to talk with you then. There's some people doing with, Tom Bell was really great about doing gateway pages. I don't have an example of his, but he was actually incorporating, like the pages would change based on the information that you included on that original gateway deal. And then also the autoresponder follow-ups would be different based on what was included. And he's got a piece of software, I guess it's now Tim's. gatewaymagic.com. Here's a really cool, it's only in your manual actually, I don't have it on slide. 1033 is, I thought, a really good forced opt-in page because, you know, or you got the bullet points of what's inside, and then 1,000 players can't be wrong. I would have liked that to be a specific number, but, you know, that's a little detail. But then, you know, they got the navigation bar at the bottom of all these testimonials, and page 1034 is just some of the testimonials with their face and audio and so on. I think that's pretty awesome. Of all those incredible testimonials on an opt-in page. And then, of course, they got some of the other stuff at the bottom there. And here is... this is the thank you page after that, so it's like congratulating them on it, and then there's a refer a friend type deal. And 1035 and 1036, so on that thank you page are two offers for two of their best-selling products on there. So it takes them to the sales page. 1037 is one of my students. 1039 is another one. Pop-ups, another great way of increasing transactions or increasing your revenue. I think they're still effective, but more and more pop-up blockers are coming up, so it's not as effective anymore. You can use stuff like unblockable pop-ups, which are, you know, listen to me, be all techie, DHTML or whatever the hell they're called. So you have fly-ins and pop-overs and different things like that. You can do it on exit, so if somebody leaves your site, it'll pop up. You can do it on entry, and you can do like a delay, like a 30-second delay. Once they hit your site, it will come a pop-up. But once again, if they got a pop-up blocker, it's gonna be stopped. You can also do a pop-under, which means they go to your website, and underneath in their browser bar will open up a new window, essentially. That'll help your revenue. Here's something we've done. We've done on Get Fit While You Sit. It's like 30 seconds after they hit the site. It's a countdown pop-up, where this will count down, line 50, it starts at 959, 958, and we doubled our sales by doing this. I wouldn't try that though in the marketing field. I've never tried it. Some people have and had results. I just think it's too see-through for marketers, but for people buying fitness stuff, they loved it. Here's an exit pop-up. Here's a downsell pop-up you can do, where it's, you know, giving them an offer for, hey, if cash is a problem, why not use pay in payments? This is another downsell. I'm selling a digital version. So the original sales letter sold only the physical version, and if they left, came up the pop-up for, hey, why don't you get the digital version? This is something Tom Antion does that I thought was pretty cool. It was an exit pop-up, and it was like, you know, pick your own price, whatever you want. And he gave them the price, so I thought that was pretty neat. Something else that I've been testing and I found to work pretty well is this ad impact deal. It's like it's almost like a post-it note that shows up on your website. And they got a couple of templates and so on that really help, and it really attracts attention to people, and it's an unblockable type deal. It's a layer or whatever the hell it is. I have no idea what it is. Point of transaction, additional stuff. This is really important. All of this can add lots of money to your info business if you're selling anything already, which all of you guys are. So, you know, we're probably, all of us are not maximizing our revenue. and I harp on this forever, is the upsell stuff. And you know, if you're not doing upsells or not doing them enough, there's just so much money to be made, upsell, cross-sell, whatever you want to call it, and I'll talk about some examples. On your thank you pages, and that just means any action thank you pages. It could be a subscriber opt-in thank you pages. It could be obviously an order thank you page. Follow-ups, so email follow-ups to people, and then package inserts. If you're sending out anything via the mail, like Mike Long was talking about, he had all these auctions going out. I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Send out an insert selling something else. All right, so here's some real quick examples. This is my an upsell on instant sales letters. I had this forever. It's like 66% pretty much all across the board for a long, long time. And so people go to the site, they're gonna click to order that $39.97, and then they hop over to this page, and it's like, oh, you know, special offer because you're ordering today, you can get this gold package. Remember I told you guys this one's public domain, this was licensed. And it's only for $15 more, so 66% of people go for that. Now, I don't have another slide, but on the order page, we actually have something like this, where it's like, you know, get, save X off of whatever, and we've tested stuff. Like, the best thing that we're using now is this thing called Headline Creator Pro, which is a software that I licensed. And before, we had some other product on there, and the upsell rate was, like, horrible. But now it's pretty decent. It's, like, 25%. So 66% of this people will get this. Right, and then we take them to another, just a regular order form page, and at the bottom of that order form page is here's another deal for you. 25% of the people, regardless of whether they went for the first upsell, will go for that other one. And then on the thank you page for instant sales letters, we got another upsell, which is a soft upsell though, into that instant marketing toolbox deal. So here's another intermediary page. You guys have seen this in your manual before for 33 days, selling people the rights. That's like 33%. 33 days, it's actually 33% conversion.
If you can actually stagger them so that they get more and more expensive, and I've had people buy about three or four in a row, and then
so they bought one, and then on the next thank you page it's something even more expensive,
and they'll say, and awesome. I'll get emails on the PayPal emails going, please no more upsells of Smile. And literally four or five in a row.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if you're using just a regular straight order form, here's my order form up there, and then at the bottom is this thing. So, you know, so save an extra $100 on this, and then there's another product below it, and we get like, I don't know, 15, 20% upsell on that particular one. All the upsells, I mean, just think about it, all free money. And if you're not doing any upsells, I mean, just whatever you got, even if it's an offline order form, put a little checkbox for an additional thing on there, you'll be surprised. People, like 10% of people, even if it's a crappy offer, we'll pretty much take it, no matter what. And if you didn't offer, they're not going to give you any additional money. It's all free. It's so great to increase your transactional value with getting no more sales. Here's a follow up and a confirmation email. Actually, before we get to that, I think we'll talk about that. So a good follow up. You know, so here's what we're doing in a follow-up is we're selling the Underground Secret Society. This is a PS that goes out in every confirmation email. People are going to open up that thank you email. The next one is, this is a thank you page example. So if people bought Public Domain Goldmine for $4.97, then on the thank you page, it's, you know, thank you for your order, first name, it's going to be shipped out to you immediately, blah, 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 if you need help. Hey, if you want extra help, here's the most comprehensive step-by-step guide to profiting from the public domain. We have about, I think, 30% of people go for that. All extra money, it's an extra $500 in my pocket. When they've also, a lot of them, I don't know, remember the percentage, I think it's about 30% go for the initial upsell that we have on that package that moves them into buying an additional CD-ROM. So then they've spent, you know, like, $1,300 when they're originally going to spend $500. All extra money. Here's a great follow-up. I was telling you guys about the bounce back, page 1054. If you can give away free money, so it like burns a hole in their pocket. So that's what this is, the letter that went out with the DVDs of the Underground, which is really cool that we so you got $795, next page, to use just like cash in the bank credit for Underground Online Marketing Seminar 2. And we got a good number of people signing up just from that. And I didn't even have the lineup then. It was just, you know, hey, if you, I had a handful of people and I said, you know, the details are still a little fuzzy, but if you trust me and you'll get one of the best deals going. Here's another package insert, 1057. This is a great, great, great secret. If somebody's doing a launch, you know, there's a lot of launches going on now. Guess what? They're gonna probably sell a whole lot of product. You know, you kind of want to piggyback on them and get in there. And this is what I did is we've done inserts for people and they've done launches to sell my copywriting course. And we just customize this physical insert that goes out with their package. And it's all, you know, free money. Who cares? It costs so little to print one of these. And when you get them back, it's just great. And you can do, obviously, package inserts in your own stuff that goes out. Art, I saw you had this catalog sitting there. You hand that catalog out with every product sale?
Yeah, we just did this couple. It's a Magalog, actually.
That's a pretty cool one. If you guys want to check that out on a break, it's pretty neat. So, you know, a catalog, when you start building up all these info products, I actually have a catalog. It's just sitting on my computer. I've just never printed it. I've never got around to. I got a copywriter to do a lot of the copy for me, and then I'll go back and tweak it because he took my existing copy that I all wrote, and then he condensed it down to like 1-2 pages, turned into a catalog, and I just haven't had time to go back and look at it again. But that's what I would do if I got a bunch of info products, create a catalog, and stick it in every single package that goes out.
When you're doing the upsell, do you ever remind them that they can have multiple payments or multiple cards at that same time?
No, the question is, do I remind them about multiple payments? It's on the page right here. It'll be on the page right above there.
Fine.
It'll say multiple, you know, 3-pay. It's not really a reminder, but they can get 3-pay on everything. Here's an example, 1062 of some of, I think, Boardroom's inserts that they've used. Here's a... I don't know why this is here. 1066, that's out of order. It's a space ad. All right, some nuts and bolts stuff. All right, we'll talk about operation stuff. Merchant account. You obviously need to process credit cards in some way. So you can either use a third party or your own. Third party, you can use something like PayPal or ClickBank or 2checkout.com. You know, getting your own merchant account is pretty important. All right, merchant account. I mean, obviously, next page over, I got, if you guys need a merchant account, this guy's pretty good. Fulfillment, you got to have, if you got a digital product, you got to have some way of fulfilling it. A lot of people always ask about, well, if it's a PDF, do you worry about locking it or do you worry about somebody else pirating it and then sending it along? And you know what? My answer is screw it. If people are going to, for the most part, I think people are really, really honest and they won't. But you know, small percentage will, and that's fine. And I'll show you how to take care of that in the next section. But the locking it just causes way more problems, like customer service issues. Where's my password? Where's my password? I can't get in. And it's like you just sold them something for $30, and you're spending $100 in customer support. So I say screw it. Digital delivery, ClickBank is a good thing for digital delivery. We use Synergix, which also handles digital delivery. Physical stuff. Customer service, we use Kayako, which a couple people use and really like that. I mean, Mulligan, you guys use that really well. Chris, you use that really well. Since we're so late on time, I don't have time to cover it too much, but talk to them out in the hallway afterwards. But what Kayako does, here's Kayako right here, it's pretty cool. Like people can submit emails and you can get emails filtered into your help desk and it'll automatically select the best answer back. Is that right, Chris? It'll push it back out to them based on search. Huh? Chris? Is that right? Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
So it'll send them back answers and this is like an automated help. You know, it's annoying for customers. I know that because I've gone through help desk myself, but. You know, depending on how you want to do this, no employees. If you want to have lots of employees, that's fine. You can handle lots more customer support. You just create answers to their most common questions and so on. And here's what help tickets look like. And then, so we have a virtual assistant. We use Workaholics for Hire. And they go in there and they'll actually, all our phone messages. So this is a phone message. We use j2.com. All our voicemail, I mean, we never answer the phones live. You can't get us live anymore, which is also, we're probably losing some sales. I know we are. It's a convenience issue. So all of the voicemail gets filtered into this thing, and then the virtual assistant will transcribe it and then put a little flag, and then either Missy and I Missy will take a look at it then, and then if it needs my attention, she'll flag me. Workaholics for Hire. Kayako, it's on there. Oh, J2, J2.com. Yeah, they do fax and voicemail, which is kind of cool. Software. Actually, let me show you something real fast on download. So if you're using ClickBank to download, I think it's really important. Nathan talked about this. Get their info. So ClickBank won't automatically do that for you. So get their info and stick them into an autoresponder. Also on the download page, give them real simple instructions, especially if your marketplace is not business marketing savvy. You know, if they're fitness people, they're going to need more instructions than marketing people. You can even put up a Camtasia video, which is great. Here's some of my, this is inside AWeber. And what we do is if somebody, you know, this is on your little diagram here, going back here. So if they're in the opt-in and now they bought, we want to take them off our opt-in autoresponder. And what I use is AWeber for that. And there's just a real simple lead automation rule, which is unsubscribe from this list when they subscribe to this particular one. So I have lists for every single product pretty much. Whenever they buy a product, there's another autoresponder. So they'll take them off that opt-in. So if there's an instant sales letters opt-in list, they're going to take them off that opt-in list and onto the customer list. Once they get on the customer list for instant sales letters, they'll automatically get taken off that prospect list. All right, some software stuff. This could be a whole conversation in itself. What? Workaholics for Hire, the number 4. I've used them. So I mean, software stuff. You know, this is a long conversation, but there's really a couple of ways of doing it. This is what I recommend: is the No BS Shopping Cart, which is one shopping cart, or Manage Pro CRM, which is really great if you're doing offline and online. I do not recommend the one shopping cart. No BS is pretty good for email deliverability. These guys so far are not so great at email deliverability. AWeber, I believe, has some of the best email deliverability, so I use them for pretty much all my email stuff. And then I use, these are my things that I use pretty much, Synergix, Webstat, and AWeber. And then I've had some custom stuff done with Synergix.
Does AWeber fit in with one shopping
cart? Does AWeber fit in with one shopping cart? It's just a separate deal that you manage it the same way that I just explained, that each product has its own autoresponder. And so once they get that product, they're taken off the other list. Because one shopping cart has great features with the unsubscribe upon subscribe, but I mean, you can use it all in one.
AWeber get the email if they're putting it into one shopping cart?
What I do is I have my tech guy, and this can be, we do it with Synergix, but he can do it with one shopping cart too, is on the thank you page, it's pre-done, it's pre-loaded, it's like pushed to them, like the first name and email is already filled in, and they just have to click for updates.
Right, okay. Cheers.
I think AWeber has better deliverability than one shopping cart. And you know, I may be wrong. Some of you guys are using one shopping cart, maybe you're having great email deliverability. But I also don't use one shopping cart as my main shopping cart. I use a Synergix, which I have a lot of Band-Aid stuff together. So if I was starting over again, I'd probably use one of those two. I don't know. It's, you know, you basically all the systems kind of suck. And you gotta do with what you got, and unless you want to spend a lot of money and custom build your own. So real fast, I mean, as info marketers, we're dealing with a lot of IP stuff, and it's good to get at least familiar with some legal deals. Copyright.gov is, you know, a good place to go, and you can read about copyright crap. Always put a copyright notice on your sites, products, and promotions, even if you don't have file. Something else that I've seen, by the way, is it's interesting that some people even notice our copyright at the bottom of the website. And if it's like for something that needs updating, they'll be like, well, is this product updated? You know, I see your copyright is 1922. And, you know, so you want to keep that somewhat updated, like, you know, copyright 1999 to 2005 or whatever the case is. This is just a real simple way of doing copyright. Once again, after 1989, you did not have to put copyright on your info products. I'd strongly recommend putting them everywhere. Trademarks, TM and R with a circle. Not many people understand the difference between that. As far as I understand, you can put this TM pretty much on anything, which just means that you're using it in commerce. But you can only use this R with a circle if it really is an actual trademark. Like I've actually trademarked instant sales letters, so we use the R with the circle. This also gives you more protection than just for ripoffs for the R with the circle. or trademark stuff when you file it, because you can actually, like for copyright, if you don't file, do I have? Okay, sorry, so we'll talk about this. Copyright and IP violation. So eBay, get eBay listings sent to you. So you wanna go into, so there's copyright basics. You can read that whenever you want. There's some TM stuff. But page 1096, then 1097. So let's say I'm gonna do a search on eBay for instant sales letters. Now I can save the search to my favorites, and now every day eBay will email me if anything comes up like this.
As far as eBay, one of the things, occasionally my speeding ticket book shows up on eBay and it's not me selling it, you know, someone's stolen it. So I always buy it and then I give that person a negative feedback, which generally says something like, beware, this thief stole my copyright material. And it's pretty hard for somebody to bounce back from that, so.
That's pretty good.
Then you report them. Then you go through the reporting.
That's good. I'll go back real fast to legal. I do not typically go out and do the form. I think it's 1099 TX, or I don't know what it is even. I've done that one time to officially file a copyright with the Copyright Office. That just gives you a little bit more legal protection that you can go for punitive damages and not just stopping them, like cease and desist type stuff. And I'll give you some of those forms. And trademark is just even stronger, because like you can't copyright a title, but you can trademark titles, things like that. So eBay, like I said, get the things sent to you. So every day I'll get a couple different searches sent to me, and if someone who warrants, I like what you're talking about, Jeff, because the negative feedback stays on there. That's pretty good. But there's also their Vero program, and it's over here. And so what we do is you get registered with that. It's a one-time deal. Page 1098. No, wait. Okay, before we get into eBay, 1098 is, so if somebody's ripping off your stuff never mind, we'll finish eBay, sorry. This is out of order. 1107 is the Vero program. Notice of claimed infringement. This is what they got on there. And then 1108 is just this real simple form they fill out, and then 1109 is what they send you back. It's real simple, but it gets them taken down pretty quickly for copyright infringement. On the web, we use cease and desist letter that we write ourselves. Carbon copy my attorney, which is one of my best buddies. from college. You can also cease and desist to your processor, to their processor, so whoever's taking their money. All right, advanced secret, we talked about this. Let's talk about the Trojan horse. All right, so 1128, Trojan horse, this is advanced secret. You're using your information product kind of as the bait for the true action that you want, and I'll explain in a second. It could be for an affiliate program or some kind of continuity income or something like that. And it's bonus. Sometimes you can even bonus it with another product. Like let's say you're selling a commodity type product, but you bonus an info product with it to make it really unique. And so here's an example of the Trojan horse at work. Next page over, these guys are selling their online poker book, and you can get it for free. They're also selling it, but you can get it for free if you sign up for one of these poker sites. And I'm assuming that they get a nice residual on it that's worth a whole lot more than actually selling the ebook. So that's pretty cool. So what are you gonna do after this? What are you gonna do with successful products? So, we talked about this before, to take your info, your core info, turn it into a different format. So ebook to CD-ROM, print to audio, to video, to hold a seminar, do an e-class, do a teleseminar. You can take your core material and repackage it up in a whole bunch of different ways. Sequels, updates, compilations, niching, renaming it. So if you name something, great for a title is you name it something something volume one, which then makes people think that there's gonna be a volume two, or it's really easy to do that, so volume nine here. You can also have a 2006 edition, 2008 edition, a version 3.0, 2.0. You can also go back, like we talked about, the Best of Dan Kennedy was one of the products. It was really just a compilation deal. We took a bunch of stuff out of old newsletters, put it all together, called it the best of. You can do that. You can go to a different niche, like I talked about Chris's, instant MLM sales letters. So take something from one place, move it to another niche. It could also be something like the beginner's guide to so-and-so. Good, better, best is another way you can take your core info and take it out. So micro slicing, niche within a niche, and we're gonna have, you know, you could have like really high priced exclusive workshops only for a little tiny group of people and only for a tiny little subject that's part of your core material. So, you know, I could do something like a whole super seminar like for 2-3 days only on, I don't know, nuts and bolts or something like that. Only a tiny group of people would really be interested in it, but they'd probably pay a whole lot of money for it. So, you know, think about also ascension levels, and we talked a little bit about that when Art asked about it, but American Express is great at it. And then you also have your ultra premium buyers, and if you don't offer something which is for the ultra premium buyers, they're not going to buy. And there's Neiman Marcus buyers and there's Kmart buyers, and if you don't give something to the Neiman Marcus buyers, they're not going to buy. Here's a great example of good, better, best. Some of you have seen this. This is pretty awesome. This thing sells for like, I don't know, $12.95. Then they got the executive version, which is nicely bound leather, and this is like, I don't know, $100 or $75. And then they got the chairman edition, which is an unlimited number humidor of burl wood and whatever, and then the gold gelt on the pages, and it's like $1,475. And they do sell at $1,475. I think it's freaking awesome. Another thing you can think about is competing against yourself. I can't remember who said it, but on the pay-per-clicks to go out and get new accounts and compete against yourself, you can do the exact same thing in the info business where, you know, you lock up the whole competitive arena. So if I was smart originally with instant sales letters, I could have had super fast sales letters. I could have had really, really fast sales letters. I could have had like, you know, sort of fast sales letters. And so I could have had whole different, you could have high end, low end. One could be only for like, you know, really, really, you know, language just for business exec type deals. And the other could be like, you know, common language. So you can also, you know, use different names. So use pseudonyms, use anonymous type names. You also want to have a completely different look and feel. I know some people that are doing this, but they won't let me talk about it, where they've completely just locked up their whole niche because somebody else looking to go in there is like, holy cow, there's like 18 competitors. A lot of them are the same guy. Godfather position. This is where you want to be at some point because as our little example here, Godfather position. This is where you're kind of like the Godfather, you got a little taste of everything. And you know, this is where, like we talked about, your customers will want to consume way more than you can create, even if you're super prolific. So that's when you're endorsing other people's stuff. And the cool thing about that is you're leveraging your database, and there's, you know, no customer support, all profit, depending on the commission structure. And so you're in a Godfather position where your list, essentially you can send out an email or a direct mail or a fax or whatever the case is, or all of the above, and make money just for nothing, really. So here's a couple examples for you guys. 1143, this is a real simple one for the artist that we did. It's a via autoresponder. Now something cool that I like to do is if we do a promo and it works really well is I add it to the end of my autoresponder sequences so that forever they'll keep getting promoted, that thing. Here's one, 1145 is for Get Fit While You Sit, an endorsement. Another one for them. And then 1149 till the end of the book are some other ones I've done in my core marketing business. All right. You guys got any questions?
I had a quick question. You know the thing that you were covering, touch on a little bit earlier? You sell the territory to the physicians, right?
Right.
Can you elaborate, like, what's the sales sequence is? Is it you get them on a teleseminar, just one, or is it a
It was one teleseminar. I mean, we're still experimenting with it, so I don't think I have the final model yet, but it was one teleseminar, and you guys saw the follow-ups, and then we just kept following up, and then we direct mailed them. We also direct mailed them the whole sales letter.
How many people do you have in that program right now?
Rather not say right now.
Okay.
But it's growing. It's becoming a substantial. It's actually making me pay attention to it.
I might have missed this. What was the quick test strategy to determine in 48 hours for under $50 if your product
is? Did you pull up my sales letter?
That's where I got it from. Yeah.
Those bullets are just made up. We just. The quick test strategy is what I talked about, where we sold as an affiliate. So we bought maybe $50 of traffic, and you know, saw if the marketplace would buy by buying another affiliate product.
And what type of daily schedule routine do you have? Anything in particular?
Yeah, it's changed a lot now with Zach being born. It's no matter what, I'm up at 7 a.m. If I go to bed at 3 a.m., it doesn't matter. I'm up at 7 a.m. It's... And then he gets really happy when I come in there. But my daily schedule looks like... I mean, it varies day to day, but I am... I don't know. I'm probably a little bit more of a workaholic than I let on. I play hard and I work hard most of the time. So, like, you know, I just went away for a week essentially for that road rally and I didn't do crap. But other times, if I'm in the office, I'm usually writing in the morning. So I find myself just fresh in the morning. So I like to do write copy in the morning for the most part, unless I went to bed at 3 a.m. and got woken up at 7 a.m. by Zach. So I'll write copy in the morning, and I'm usually working on new projects in the morning too, or working on stuff that's something really important in this business. Is I've always found that be, you know, proactive. Do even if it's just one little proactive thing every single day to move your business forward. And you know, what you've gotten here is, you know, just probably trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant, hopefully, and it's a whole lot of stuff. Just realize you don't have to do all of this. I don't even do all of this. I don't maximize my profits as much as I can because we're only a two-person company. So you don't have to. You don't have to feel like you got to do all of it. It's been built over 6 years. And then by the afternoon, like I try and schedule like administrative BS tests. I really, really hate. So I'll minimize those as much as I can. I still do a little bit of it. So it might be, I don't know, like a half hour midday. I might answer emails. I try not to look at emails first thing in the morning, though. I find it hard not to do that because I do like to see the orders come in. But then at the same time, I'm seeing orders come in. It's like, this person needs help with this, and can you help? Or, you know, it might be a joint venture request or something. And then I find myself that I have to stop myself from replying first thing, even though sometimes I do. So I'm not perfect in that sense. But there's usually two or three times during the day when I try and answer email. And if I don't watch myself, it can be like checking email real fast and then replying, and then I don't get that much done. Real fast for you guys, this one last slide that we didn't cover, and I think this is really important too, is as you're thinking about where to expand your product, here's typically where we start if we got a successful product and our existing customers. I firmly believe in only moving one step over on the matrix for the most part, and this 2x2 matrix. So a new product to your existing customers, or taking a successful product to new customers. This is where you get in trouble sometimes, is a whole new product to new customers. So just keep that in mind as you're thinking about expansion.
One thing that didn't come out yesterday or today, I'm just gonna throw out there because it saved me a lot of heartache and didn't save me when I haven't done it. If there's somebody you're gonna get into some kind of strategic relationship with, you see using them long-term and they're in the US, whether it's a programmer, whether it's affiliate partner, whatever, go get yourself a private eye or get on the web. And for $100, $200, you can do a financial, criminal, and legal background search on them. And I'll tell you what, it'll save you a lot of headache because they may look really good on paper, or they may say all the right things or dress right. But I'll tell you what, it's like you said, you only cry once. And you know, $200, it's that, you know.
That's a good idea.
An ounce will save you a pound, right?
Very good. All right, we're done. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, guys. All right. Very good. Thanks.